Welcome to The Word for Today, featuring the Bible teaching of Pastor Chuck Smith, founder of the Calvary Chapel Movement. This radio program is a verse-by-verse study through the entire Bible. And on today's edition of The Word for Today, Pastor Chuck continues with the fulfillment of prophecy as we pick up in Ezekiel chapter 32, verse 8. And now with today's message, here's Pastor Chuck.
All the bright lights of heaven will I make dark over thee and set darkness upon thy land, saith the Lord God. I will also vex the hearts of many people when I shall bring your destruction among the nations into the countries which you have not known. Yes, I will make many people amazed at thee, and their kings shall be horribly afraid for thee when I brandish my sword before them, and they shall tremble at every moment, every man for his own life in the day of thy fall. For thus saith the Lord God, the sword of the king of Babylon shall come upon thee. And by the swords of the mighty will I cause thy multitude to fall, and the terrible of nations, all of them, and they shall spoil the pomp of Egypt, and the multitude thereof shall be destroyed. And I will destroy all the beasts thereof from beside the great waters, neither shall the foot of man trouble them any more, nor the hoofs of beasts trouble them. Then will I make their waters deep and cause their rivers to run like oil, saith the Lord God, when I shall make the land of Egypt desolate, and the country shall be destitute of that whereof it was full. Then I shall smite all of them that dwell therein. Then shall they know that I am the Lord. And again, in all of these prophecies, the Lord declares, when they are fulfilled, then they shall know that I am the Lord. One of the purposes of prophecy, speaking of things in advance, is to give proof that God indeed has spoken. Jesus said, I have told you these things before they come to pass, so that when they come to pass, you might believe. And so one of the strong apologetics of Scripture is prophecy and the fulfillment of prophecy. And so over and over again, as the prophecies are made, the Lord said, and then shall ye know that I am the Lord. And of course, when we get into Ezekiel, our study next week, as it speaks of Russia's invasion with this massive army from all of her allies, including Libya and Ethiopia and all Iraq, Iran, and all, when they are all defeated in Israel, he said, then shall the nations of the world know that I am God. I will be sanctified before the nations of the world. I was talking with a very wealthy Jewish friend about the Bible and about the Lord. And I was asking him what it was going to take to make him a believer, because his whole thing was, where was God when my parents were gassed, you know, in Germany? For his parents were both of them killed by the Germans during the war. And I said, but what will it take to make you a believer? I said, here God said that he was going to make Israel a nation once again, and Israel is now a nation. Doesn't that say something to you? He said, no. He said, it's very obvious. We have had that in our heart from the beginning. You know, one day it was going to be a nation again. We were going to take it again. He said, we're tough people. I said, well, it says when Israel becomes a nation again, that they will become a troublesome stone to all of those that are round about them, and if any nation tries to come against them, that they are going to really be hurt. And this was right after the 67 war. And I said, look what's happened to how Israel struck out against Jordan, Egypt, and Syria all at the same time and defeated all three, took the Sinai, took the West Bank, and the Golan Heights. Doesn't that cause you to believe? He says, no, I told you we were tough people. I said, well, the Bible says that Russia then will head an invasion against Israel and will come with all of her allies to destroy this new nation. And that Russia is going to be totally defeated. He said, when that happens, I'll become a believer. I said, Paul, you might be just a little bit too late to escape the great tribulation that will follow. But we'll be getting into that more next week as we move on in this exciting prophecy of Ezekiel, as he gets into the regathering of the nation Israel and the events of these last days. Now, as we get into verse 17, we have a whole new prophecy. The lamentation against the Pharaoh is over with verse 16. This is the lamentation. He is told to take up a lamentation for the Pharaoh, and this is the lamentation wherewith they shall all lament her. They shall lament for her, even for Egypt and all of her multitude. Now, it came to pass also in the 12th year, in the 15th day of the month. This first prophecy came on the first day of the month, so 15 days later, he had another word from the Lord for Egypt, saying, Son of man, wail for the multitude of Egypt, and cast them down, even her and the daughters of the famous nations, unto the nether parts of the earth, with them that go down to the pit. Whom dost thou pass in beauty? Go down and be thou laid with the uncircumcised. They shall fall in the midst of them that are slain by the sword. She is delivered to the sword. Draw her and all of her multitudes. The strong among the mighty shall speak to him out of the midst of hell with them that help him. They are gone down. They lie uncircumcised, slain by the sword. Asher is already there, and all of her company. His graves are about him, all of the slain fallen by the sword. Egypt is going to fall and go into hell, where Asher has already been slain, whose graves are set in the sides of the pit. Her company is round about her grave, all of them slain, fallen by the sword, which caused terror from the land of the living. Elam is there, and all of her multitude. And verse 25, they have set her a bed in the midst of the slain, with all of her multitude, her graves are round about. And so Egypt is to be cast down with these other nations, Meshech and Tubal. Those nations from the north, along with Sidon, and then Edom is also there, verse 29, and her kings and princes, and then verse 30, the Sidonians, and Pharaoh shall see them, and shall be comforted over all his multitude, even Pharaoh and all his army, slain by the sword, saith the Lord God. For I have caused my terror in the land of the living, and he shall be laid in the midst of the uncircumcised with them that are slain with the sword, even Pharaoh and all of the multitude, saith the Lord God. Now, as we get into chapter 33, God now begins to instruct those captives who are in Babylon. Son of man, speak to the children of thy people, and say unto them, When I bring the sword upon a land, if the people of the land take a man of their coast and set him for their watchman, if when he sees the sword come upon the land, he blows the trumpet and warns the people, then whosoever hears the sound of the trumpet and takes not warning, if the sword comes and takes him away, his blood shall be upon his own head. He heard the sound of the trumpet. He did not take warning. His blood shall be upon him. But he that taketh warning shall deliver his soul. But if the watchman see the sword come and does not blow the trumpet, and the people are not warned, and the sword comes and takes away any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at the watchman's hand. So thou, O son of man, I have set thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore, thou shalt hear the word at my mouth and warn them from me. Now, God is commissioning Ezekiel to speak his word to the captives, the people of God, there in the land of Babylon. And God is holding Ezekiel responsible for speaking the word of God to them. And God likens it unto a watchman that has been set up to warn the people of an impending invasion. If the watchman sees the enemy coming and he blows the trumpet to warn the people, then he has fulfilled his obligation. His responsibility was complete when he blew the trumpet and gave warning. What the people do with the warning is not in the responsibility of the watchman. He cannot help what the people do with the warning that he gave. His job was to give the warning. The people could respond however they wanted to the warning. It was then their responsibility how they responded. And so God said, now I have set you like a watchman. If you don't warn them, then you are responsible, and I will hold you responsible for them. But if you warn them, then they are responsible for themselves. In our Christian witnessing, I think that it is important that we realize that we are much like a watchman. God has set us to give a warning unto people. Now, what they do with it is their business. God has not commissioned us really to argue people into the kingdom of heaven or to pressure or to force people into the kingdom of heaven. God has commissioned us to witness his truth. And what people do with that witness is their business. And I realize that there's nothing I can do beyond witnessing for the Lord. It is interesting to me how that there are some people that when you witness to them, it's like they've been waiting for you all their lives. And they're just ready to accept that they are so eager, really, that they don't always even give you the chance to finish your witness. And there are others that you give the same witness to, and it's like it's falling on deaf ears. It's like they don't even hear you. It's like they haven't even heard anything you said. And it doesn't seem to penetrate at all. It has no effect upon them. Now, this causes me to realize that the Holy Spirit is the one that has to do the work of conviction and the drawing of these people to Jesus Christ. My responsibility is as a watchman just to blow the trumpet, to declare the Lord is coming soon. Now, what you do with that is your own business. And so God said to Ezekiel, now look, you're like a watchman, Ezekiel. Your responsibility is to give the people my word. That's all. What they do with it after that is their responsibility. But I'm going to hold you responsible to warn them, to give them my word. So when I say to the wicked, oh, wicked man, you will surely die. If you do not speak to warn the wicked from his way, that wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at your hand. Nevertheless, if you warn the wicked of his way to turn from it, if he do not turn from his way, he shall die in his iniquity, but you have delivered your soul. The Lord gave him much the same kind of a commission back at the beginning of the book in the third chapter of Ezekiel. Therefore, thou son of man, speak unto the house of Israel. Thus ye speak, saying, if our transgressions and our sins be upon us, and we pine away in them, how shall we thus then live? The question, very important question. If our transgressions and our sins be upon us and they are destroying us, how should we then live? Say unto them, as I live, saith the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn ye from your evil ways, for why will ye die, O house of Israel? And so here we see the heart of God, and we understand now a bit of the truth of God, and not the perversion that has been fostered by Satan through the ages, that God is cruel and harsh and almost relishes judging. Not so. God has no pleasure in the death of the wicked, any wicked. But God cries unto them to turn. I often hear the complaint, how can a God of love send a man to hell? Well, the complaint itself is wrong, because the Bible does not teach that God actually sends men to hell, that they go there by their own choice. Against everything that God has done to keep them from hell. Now, God has given to us free choice. I can choose what I want. God doesn't force me to serve Him. He doesn't force me to love Him. He gives me that choice, and He respects the choice that I make. But God does everything short of violating my choice to bring me into His kingdom. But if I refuse every innovation of God towards me, every invitation of the Spirit, if I do despite to the Spirit of grace, trample underfoot the Son of God, account the blood of His covenant wherewith He was sanctified an unholy thing, if I say, the blood of Jesus Christ means nothing to me, if I am stubborn, rebellious, and I hang in there, I can make it into hell, but it's the hardest trip in the world. Not easy to go to hell. You've got to fight against God every step, and finally you have to step over Jesus Christ, who actually sort of lays Himself out in your path to stop you from your madness. But the madness of man, God says, turn ye, for why will ye die, O house of Israel? The path that they have taken is a path of destruction. They are pining away in their transgressions and sins. And God is crying to them to turn. Therefore, thou son of man, say to the children of thy people, the righteousness of the righteous shall not deliver him in the day of his transgression. As for the wickedness of the wicked, he shall not fall thereby in the day that he turneth from his wickedness. Neither shall the righteous be able to live for his righteousness in the day that he sinneth. When I shall say to the righteous that he shall surely live, if he trusts in his own righteousness and commits iniquity, all of his righteousnesses shall not be remembered, but for his iniquity that he hath committed, he shall die for it. Again, when I say to the wicked, thou shalt surely die, if he turns from his sin and does that which is lawful and right, if the wicked restores the pledge and gives again that which was robbed, if he walks in the statutes of life without committing iniquity, he shall surely live, he shall not die. And none of his sins that he has committed shall be mentioned unto him. He hath done that which is lawful and right, he shall surely live. Isn't that glorious? God will never mention any of your past iniquities again as you turn to Jesus Christ. Of course, this is written in the pre-grace age. This is written under the old law of the covenant. But what is true under this, as far as God not remembering our sins again, is true under grace. The grace of God whereby we have that forgiveness of sins. Yet the children of thy people say, the way of the Lord isn't equal. God isn't fair. How many times we've heard this complaint against God? God isn't fair. This is the underlying complaint, really. Whenever a person says, how can a God of love, you know that they are challenging the fairness of God. No matter what they say after that. There is that subtle challenge of the fairness of God. And how many times the fairness of God has been challenged by man. And here the children of Israel are challenged. The way of the Lord isn't equal. God says, you tell them their way isn't equal. When the righteous turns from his righteousness and commits iniquity, he shall even die thereby. But if the wicked turns from his wickedness and does that which is lawful and right, he shall live thereby. Yet ye say, the way of the Lord isn't equal. O ye house of Israel, I will judge every one of you after your ways. Now, at this point, it came to pass in the 12th month of our captivity, in the 10th month and the 5th day of the month. So we're coming into a whole interesting aspect here now. That one that had escaped out of Jerusalem came unto me saying, the city is smitten. And so the news finally arrived. It was a year earlier that Jerusalem fell. But one of the persons who had escaped finally comes to Ezekiel, bringing him the news that Jerusalem was smitten. Now the hand of the Lord was upon me in the evening before he that was escaped came, and had opened my mouth until he came to me in the morning, and my mouth was open, and I was no more dumb. Now the Lord, you remember, told Ezekiel that he was going to be dumb until they got word of the destruction of the city of Jerusalem. So the Lord opened his mouth, and he was no more dumb.
We'll continue with more of our verse-by-verse Bible study in the book of Ezekiel on our next broadcast, as Pastor Chuck continues to teach through the Bible. And we do hope you'll make plans to join us. But right now, if you'd like to order a copy of today's message, simply order Ezekiel 32 through 33 when visiting thewordfortoday.org. And while you're there, be sure to browse the many additional biblical resources by Pastor Chuck. You can also subscribe to the Word for Today podcast or sign up for our email subscription. Once again, that's thewordfortoday.org. For those of you wishing to call, our toll-free number is 1-800-272-WORD, and our office hours are Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. Again, that's 1-800-272-9673. If you prefer to write, our mailing address is The Word for Today, P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. And now, on behalf of The Word for Today, we'd like to thank all of you who share in supporting this ministry with your prayers and financial support. And be sure to join us again next time as Pastor Chuck continues his verse-by-verse study through the Bible. That's right here on the next edition of The Word for Today. And now, once again, here's Pastor Chuck.
May the Lord be with you. May the Lord bless you. May he fill you with his love, with his spirit, with his grace, that you might show forth that grace of God in your dealings with others, that you might manifest the spirit, the nature of Jesus Christ in your relationship with others, that you might walk even as he walked. In Jesus' name.
This program has been sponsored by Calvary Chapel of Costa Mesa, California.
I have a question for you. How would you like to go from Genesis to Revelation in 1 year using a daily Bible devotional? And what if this devotional was written by Pastor Chuck? Then I've got great news. Be one of the many thousands of readers who have enjoyed reading Wisdom for Today, a daily devotional that speaks volumes of wisdom to apply to your everyday life. Come alongside Pastor Chuck as he takes you on a journey from Genesis to Revelation, providing God's truth to answer your questions and discover how this might very well become your most beloved and cherished devotional ever. To order your copy of Wisdom for Today, a leather hardback, for yourself or for a loved one, please call The Word for Today at 1-800-272-9673. Or visit us online for more information and to read a preview at thewordfortoday.org.